The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, I am alive and I'm present, and I'm going to give you a whole bunch of information that you can definitely use. It's a gorgeous day outside. It's really pretty. So make sure you get out and enjoy the day. The rest of it, I intend to. I'm going to go out and go for a little bit of a walk, and, you know, hopefully we don't get any more of that white stuff, but it's going to be a little cold, but not a problem. Listen, I've got a program for you today that is really important because it has to do with stress patterns. It has to do with how your body breaks down over a period of time. And God knows that we've had more stress over the last couple years than any of us could begin to appreciate. The problem is that we have become so used to the stress, we don't even know that we're being beat up. You know, I'm going to use that term in many cases literally, because our body's immunological systems, our body's fight flight reactions, our survival mechanisms are all being broken up and deteriorated in front of our eyes until the point where we don't know that we're even sick. We're just kind of, you know, at a low level, whether it's joint pain or headaches, or all of a sudden your intestinal system's not working the way it's supposed to. All of those things can and do relate to stress patterns. So, you know, in my world, as you've heard me say many times, we look at the equilateral triangle of structural, chemical, emotional, or neurological, biochemical, bioelectrical, and the thought processes that go on in our brain. And those are the things that, if we call them stressors, they begin to break down the body. And so in this particular situation, we're going to talk about the constant bombardment of stresses in our environment, although it can be an injury that never goes away, pain that we put up with. You know, we just take our Advil and Aleve and Motrin and, you know, all of those things, Excedrin, to handle the pain pattern. Instead of dealing with the pain pattern, that thing is still there. Whatever's causing it, the inflammatory reactions, they're still present and they wear and tear on the body. The biochemical, bioelectrical, it's around us all the time. Our foods are either genetically modified or, you know, they've been manufactured with less than optimal chemistry and so forth. And that third is how your brain works, how your mind works. But we're going to talk about the impact of stress. And to do that, we've got to talk about a little organ system that sits on top of your kidneys called the adrenal glands. They're small little ductless glands that squeeze the contents of what they produce into your bloodstream to help you do what? They help you survive. They help you stay alive. And it's important that we understand that that's the centerpiece. And they're all part of a connecting chain that goes from the adrenal system to a little gland in your brain called the hypothalamus and another little gland called the pituitary. And, you know, many of us know about the pituitary. It's talked about on a regular basis because it produces things like thyroid stimulating hormone, and that affects your thyroid gland. It produces something like luteinizing hormone, and ladies, that affects your ovaries, and guys, that affects the production of sperm and the testicles. So this is an important reaction, and we wonder why, you know, our hormones begin to break down. As we get older, stress accumulates unless we've had the insight of how to put these things together. But first, I want to go over with you what happens when stress begins to accumulate, the symptoms that are producing. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how you fix it, what you should be doing, because in our office at the Rozelle Center for Healing, we see the end product of stress on a day-to-day basis. Patients coming in with long-term problems that they really haven't addressed. They've adapted to, they've dampened down because of the medications that they're taking. They've been told to live with it, and that's not okay. But just remember, we're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. I'd love to talk to you and answer any questions that you have on your health. And it doesn't have to do with the adrenal patterns that we're talking about, but nevertheless, let's kind of go through the weeds on this thing, because it's something that all of us need to know about. You know, life is a balancing act. It's a matter of having something to get up in the morning and look forward to doing, and so many of us don't. It's a matter of making us better each and every moment. You know, when I go out and lecture, I talk about, you know, improving life. And this is for doctors and their support staffs and so forth. And I said, improving your life a quarter of a percentage, a half of a percentage a day, showing up better tomorrow than you were today. It's an ongoing struggle. But even if we did a smidgen, our life begins to improve, but physically and mentally and emotionally, instead of reacting, instead of dampening down, instead of looking for drugs and getting the addictive processes, we go through the process of trying to figure out what we can actually do to make things better. Now, let's get back to those adrenal glands, these fight-flight reactions that they have to defend you from, right? And when the adrenal system doesn't work, and we'll get back to that in what it does in a second, your symptom presentation are going to be things like chronic joint pain that is just always, you know, there and you can't get rid of it. So you get hooked on certain drugs to try to relax your body. Irregular heartbeats, yep, and your body can go into afibrillation. It could misfire. Intestinal tract problems, hormonal imbalances, joints that, you know, that are hot and screaming. I mean, it really continues. The inability to think, the inability to react, the loss of strength. All these things can be part of that puzzle. If you get up from a chair too quickly, or if you bend over to pick up a shoe and you get up too fast, that dizziness that occurs, that's part of the adrenal system. If you're outside in a very, very bright day, and, you know, particularly, you know, this time of the year, right, the sun is at a certain level, particularly about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 4:30 in the afternoon. If you're headed west, you want your sunglasses, and not because you want to stop the glare, it's because your eyes are hurting you. And those are all part of the adrenal system, because the adrenal glands controls the diameter, if you will, of that little black spot in your eyes called the pupil. And it opens and closes based on, you know, its stimulation, meaning darkness or light. So it's really important that we understand that your thyroid gland is the recipient of stimulation from that adrenal system. They share an amino acid. It's called L-tyrosine. And L-tyrosine is needed in the thyroid along with iodine and trace minerals to produce thyroxine, which is T4 on your blood test. But guess what happens? If you're stressed out and if you need to survive, guess who wins? Your adrenal system. It's going to steal that amino acid. It's going to steal that substance so you can live and you can survive. Blood sugar handling transport is incredibly important. So when a patient comes in, we talk about what's really happening and when it first started, what their lifestyle's about. Are there any injuries that have taken place? What has evolved over a period of time that they've had to deal with, put up with, modify in some way, but it's never really been resolved. So a patient comes in and they say, well, I have low back pain. Okay, well, when was the triggering mechanism? When was the very first time this took place? Or, you know, I have this chronic, I wake up in the morning and I have this headache and it feels like there's a band around my head. By the way, that typical presentation more often than not relates to thyroid function, but it can be a result of the fight flight system, this adrenal system that we're talking about, not working the way it's supposed to. So it's important, it's imperative that we understand the stressors, that neurological, that biochemical, bioelectrical, and that platform of thought process and emotion that is putting pressure on our multiple systems of the body, but we need to understand how this thing works. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We want to put it together so you get it, you understand it, and, you know, it makes a difference. So can you do something about it? Absolutely. If you look up adrenal insufficiency, if you look up adrenal weakness in the traditional medical textbook, you're going to see things like Addison's disease and so forth. It doesn't have to get to that place. We're talking about functional breakdown, the slow, insidious breakdown of a system, actually multidimensional, before it becomes pathological. And that's where the patient comes in and, you know, one of the questions I'll ask them, I said, how do you sleep during the night? Well, not great. And I said, do you wake up or, you know, do you stay asleep or is it difficult for you to get to sleep? And they will often say, that they wake up, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Another question I'll ask them is, when did you eat last before you went to bed? And what was your, what did you eat? And they will often say, well, you know, I had pasta or I had a piece of bread and something, and, you know, they just didn't want to cook. Well, the problem is that if you don't have enough protein in your body, what happens is your cortisol that is produced from the outer shell of this fight-flight system, this adrenal system, kicks in, goes through the roof, and it wakes you up. That's what gets you up in the morning. That's, you know, your body needs fuel. It wakes you up, and you have a normal, what we call a normal circadian rhythm. And now you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and you're ready to go. And that's why some people wake up in the middle of the night, and they can't get back to sleep because that cortisol level is so high. See, this is what happens with the adrenal system. That outer coating, we call it the outer shell of the adrenal system, and the adrenal cortex, if you will. And there's an inner shell, by the way. It's called the adrenal medulla, but the adrenal cortex produces adrenaline stimulatory patterns. It controls blood pressure. It controls your fight-flight reaction and controls your heartbeat, lots of things of that nature. Now, if you're going to bed at nighttime and you kind of crash at night, now you should go into a 6 to 8 hour, period where you shouldn't wake up your body. And then when you wake up, you should feel bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Well, that doesn't happen to a lot of people. So we ask them the questions that I just proposed to you, all those things about, you know, how do you sleep? Do you wake up? Can you get back to sleep? You know, are your eyes bothered by certain things? Do you have headaches in the morning? All kinds of what would seem to be not related situations, but they're totally related. So we do a test often, to be able to help people. You know, they may need neurological, structural, acupuncture. They need dietary changes, but we need to know what's happening. When you do this test, and it's called an adrenal stress index, or an ASI, an adrenal stress index, it measures multiple pieces of the puzzle. One of the things that it measures is that thing we just talked about, the cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And cortisol should be the highest in the morning when you wake up. That's what wakes you up, okay? That's why I said if your cortisol is too high in the middle of the night, you're going to wake up. You're not going to get back to sleep. Then it begins to drop. And it goes about 11 o'clock in the morning, close to noon. It should get lower, but it shouldn't have a huge drop from morning to that period of time. It should be a slight drop down. If it drops too fast, that begins to suggest that your blood sugars aren't balanced properly. And you could have a low blood sugar pattern called hypoglycemia. And then it goes down later on in the afternoon until at nighttime, it's at the lowest level of the day. And that's when you get sleepy and you want to go to bed and you're not going to stay awake and things of that nature. So that's an important finding. And if you don't do that test, if you don't measure it, you can't really find out what's taking place. Now, that's going to be a clue, too, to other pieces of adrenal insufficiency. Now, one of the things that we look at when it comes to the adrenal system is also its production of something called DHEA. And it's another hormone that that adrenal system produces, and it's incredibly critical relative to what happens with your body. So DHEA is important because I call it the mother of all hormones, right? It helps produce so many other things in the body. And without that, you can't produce your testosterone, you can't produce a lot of other things. But according to the general fight-flight system, and we call that the general adaptation syndrome, this goes back to a guy, by the way, by the name of Dr. Hans Selye. And Dr. Selye said that there were three primary phases of adrenal stress. One was, you know, somebody hits you up, they're getting your attention. It's called alarm. You know, the second is that you try to defend yourself. That's called resistance. And then the third piece is you get beat up on the ropes. That's called exhaustion. You're going to crash and you're going to go down the tubes. So we need to find out what's taking place. And according to the production of cortisol and the balance of this thing called DHEA, there's a value that needs to be there. And if that value is not normal, the body goes into a crash situation. Pretty soon you just go right down the tubes. And it's going to fluctuate based on the time of the day, and it's going to impair your normal rhythmic patterns and so forth. But acute stress response is going to see, we're going to see a high cortisol level that we just talked about, that fight, flight, that stress hormone. Everybody has heard about it, one or the other. And then we're going to see DHEA pop up. And then over time, if we don't get rid of that stress, meaning pain or emotional stress or so forth, then things begin to happen. Then we begin to see the DHEA drop. Our hormones don't work the way they're supposed to. There's no interest in opposite sex, things of that nature. It's incredibly important that we understand how all these things are intimately related. Pretty soon we go into, you know, the last stage called adrenal exhaustion, and the body just crashes, it drops. And so we have to figure it out. We're coming up to a break. I think I've gone a little longer than what I should. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. It's beautiful outside, so make sure you get to enjoy the day. But take me with you if you're going to go out now. You know, plug in the buds and go for a walk, and I'll try to give you as much data as I possibly can. That actually will help you on your walk. What are we talking about? We're talking about adrenal stress patterns, you know, how our body burns out, crashes, and we don't know how to fix it. The next thing we find out that we're, you know, we're on all kinds of meds. We have an inflammatory this, we have resistance that, and things don't work the way they're supposed to. We talked a little bit about something called an adrenal stress index test. And it's a real simple test, by the way. And most functional medicine providers do this test from one laboratory to the other. And it tells you exactly what that fight-flight reaction is doing. Your ability to defend yourself, if you will, from the slings and arrows of time. And we're talking about injury patterns affecting the nervous system. We're talking biochemical, bioelectrical. We're talking about emotional types of patterns and decision-making systems. The thing that we have to understand is that it's a multidimensional irritant to the system, meaning that when that cortisol level gets way too high, and then because it causes an inflammatory reaction. What does that mean? That means that we're dealing with a resistance pattern of some sort. Resistance means a push away or inability to deal with or handle. And we've all heard insulin resistance, you know, in a diabetic pattern. Well, this is a big reason why that takes place. If the cortisol level is too high, ultimately it affects the stress receptors throughout the entire body, and chronic stress, meaning structural, biochemical, bioelectrical, emotional, then sets up this wall, if you will, and this makes the receptors in the body less available, less sensitive to the transport, not only of insulin having to do with blood sugar transport, but it also with hormones and their transports, whether it's thyroid, whether it's estrogen, whether it's testosterone, whether it's progesterone, it has an impact on all of those things. So this fight-flight system, this adrenal system, this ability to defend ourselves from the slings and arrows of the time is critical that we understand that it's in our control. The second half of the program, I'm going to go through, you know, patterns of how you can begin to deal with this on your own, but more importantly, what you need to do if you're putting up with chronic pain, what you need to do if you're putting up with a chronic stress pattern, what you can do if you're dealing with, you know, the inavailability, if you will, of the right dietary things that are going in your system. This is a system that has a lot to do with what we've done to ourselves or what we haven't done to protect ourselves over a long period of time. And so, you know, over 45 years of practice, when I'm sitting there looking at people coming in with all of these different conditions, and I do the history, and I start pulling it apart, and I look at all the things that they've put into their bodies. I look at the emotional stress patterns that they've gone through, or they've dealt with, or they've shoved in their back pocket. They haven't stepped up to the plate. And we wonder why blood pressures shift. You know, if you come into our practice, we do blood pressures in three different postural patterns. We take your blood pressure sitting, which most doctors do, but then we lie you down and we immediately take your blood pressure again. And then we stand you up and we immediately take your blood pressure again. There's a certain rhythm that needs to be maintained. When you stand up or you lie down, the blood pressure should shift. if it doesn't shift in the right way, it gives us clues, if you will, to what might be going on in your body. So I'll give you one of the pieces. If you're lying down and you stand up and your blood pressure drops, that has to do with exactly what we're talking about, this adrenal system, this fight-flight reaction. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about that. We're going to kind of break it apart little bit by little bit as we go through the second part of the program. But more importantly, I want to try to give you information that will help you and be able to maintain the quality of life that you want and understand that it really is a do-it-yourself program. And we'll talk about that because you have control. Nobody else does. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. I'm here at 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Love to talk to you today. I'll be right back after some important messages. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I am. Let's go for a walk this afternoon. It's like really nice. Remember what I've said to you over a period of the years is that if you walk 2 miles every day, and I'm not talking about speed, just put your headset on and go for a walk or just go enjoy things, that you decrease your risk of dying of a disease process by 50%. Isn't that cool? Well, this has to do a lot with what we're talking about today with this fight-flight reaction. And, you know, we talked a little bit about what happens is adrenal gland that sits on top of your kidneys, that is a ductless gland that squeezes its contents into the body like cortisol and estrogens and progesterones. Yeah, it does. You said, well, I thought those were producing my gonads. Well, they are, but this outer shell of the adrenal system also produces certain amounts of that, and it's a balancing act, particularly as we get older. That's the system that takes over. So, you know, there's multiple phases of stress that goes through the body, and we wonder why we get sick. Talked a little bit about resistance patterns and how this chronic pattern sets up a resistance to different receptors, so you lose the ability to transport blood sugar levels, so now you get into pre-diabetic and unfortunately into a diabetic stage if it doesn't clear up. And then, you know, we're talking about hormone transport as well. You know, we're finding that there's more and more people because of dietary, because of environment, because of chronic patterns that they put up with are going into that type of situation. So we're seeing low levels of testosterone in young men in their 30s. You know, it's unheard of. And we're seeing guys that are being much more susceptible to malignancies, breast cancers, and because the buffering of estrogens that are all around us from the electrical platforms that we have and plastics and so forth, this adrenal system is supposed to produce progesterone that buffers it, that protects that from happening. 100% no, but that's a very, very important piece of the puzzle. So let's get into it a little bit more. And we're here at 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything that you have in mind. And I'm going to try to give you some avenues of protection, okay? One of the things I wanted to cover with you, many of you have heard of an antibody. It's called IgA or gliadin IgA antibodies, serum gliadin IgA. And the highest concentrations are in the intestinal tract and in the mouth. And it's one of your primary areas of defense in all kinds of things, from viruses and bacterium and heavy metal and so forth. During this whole COVID process, initially we wanted to see what the antibodies were. Did your body react to a virus? But when we did the antibody testing, it was testing an envelope virus. And there are many envelope types of viruses, from the common cold to the flu to COVID to all kinds of things. And so we wanted to see what the reaction is. And so you had an IgG, an IgM antibody that was the primary thing that was tested initially. And the IgG means that you were exposed to something. It doesn't mean it's active. It just means you were exposed to it. The IgM says that your body's in a war. It's starting to try to defend itself. And it depends on the levels to tell you how acutely that is. Now, unfortunately, that IgG is beat up by chronic stress patterns. And it can be dietary and can be, you know, very suppressive. You know, 75% of your neurochemistry and so forth and your immune system is in your intestinal tract. Some authors will tell you as high as 85%. So when you think of that and the gut's not working the way it's supposed to, or you're not getting the right nutrients in your body, it goes to show that we may be suffering needlessly when we have control over it. So this IgA is really important in the diagnostics, if you will, of is your body able to defend itself? It is the mucous membranes within the intestinal system, within the mouth and those tissues that produces this and be able to push it throughout the body. Any mucosal lining, whether it's your sinuses, whether it's your throat, whether it's your mouth, whether it's your intestinal tract, anything that has mucus produces an IgA antibody response. So any viral pattern, for example, usually comes in, you know, through the nose and the mouth and so forth. And if your IgA levels are significant enough, it usually buffers it. It breaks it down. But people whose immunological systems generally are depleted don't have the protective mechanism that they should have. So one of the main functions of IgA is immune exclusion, if you will, binding itself to the antigens. The antigens are the presence of viral patterns in the body and preventing their ability to get into the body. So they tie them up. They don't let them get in. It is probably the best vaccine that you can get. And I'm using that term as a descriptive pattern, not necessarily an accurate situation. But it protects us from virtually all kinds of things that could drop us. And then there's a Ig antibody that is primary to the intestinal tract, and it's called a gliadin ABIGA antibody. And that has to do with protecting our gut from things like colitis and Crohn's disease and so forth. Anytime these antibodies are beat up and or they're made ineffective because of an inflammatory response, it often has to do primarily with this fight-flight system in some way, this adrenal system that we're talking about. So when a patient comes in, for example, and they're complaining of irritable bowel problems and they've had it for years, they could be sensitive to all kinds of things. Gluten sensitivity is one of them. So that gliadin ABSIGA antibody is actually a measure of certain types of gluten proteins that are irritating the body and get too high. So it's important. But when we're talking about a defense mechanism, remember, we're still talking about this adrenal system, this adrenal gland that sits on top of the kidneys that produces survival mechanisms for our body. So if that gut is irritated because we're not able to suppress the irritation, suppress the inflammation, it pretty much is telling us that this one component of the body is not working the way it's supposed to, and there's going to be other pieces that are going to be affected as well. The cardiovascular system of the body is also going to be affected by this gland, this adrenal system, this stress pattern that we're talking about. The inside of the adrenal system that we call the medulla, okay, the inside of it, we said that it, you know, remember I said that tyrosine is shared between the thyroid and the adrenal system? Well, it produces some interesting components. It's called epinephrine and norepinephrine. And it's a modulator when it comes to blood pressure and it comes to cardiac output. And our heart is directly affected by it. So when the fight-flight system is overwrought, over the top, then we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a problem in modulating things that take place. Inflammation is the thing that we're trying to keep under control. If cortisol gets too high, inflammation goes crazy. Once cortisol is, you know, no longer in its normal range, whether it's you know, way too low, or as we just said, way too high, there are disease processes that occur because of that. So what can we do about it? How can we manufacture enough resistance to protect ourselves, to defend ourselves? And the reason I'm doing this today is because I've had several patients that have come into the office and, you know, they'll grab me as I'm walking down the hallway and they'll say, hey, listen, you know, I just saw my doctor in the office and they told me that, you know, my adrenal system, my cortisol levels over the top and I'm not doing the way I'm, as I should. You know, what does that really mean? So I sit there and I go through as much as I can to get them to understand that it has to do with a stress pattern of not eating the right things, eating foods that are modified, eating foods that are adulterated in some way, even minimally hybridized. You know, for example, a hybridized food is gluten that has been added to, or not added to, but made in a way that it's much higher than normal. we've kidded around and said, you know, if I go to my father's village in Sicily and I eat the food there, I don't have a reaction as I would to eating some of the things that are here that are genetically modified or hybridized to enhance whatever they're going to enhance. A bagel, by the way, has huge amount of gluten in it for those of you who might have some sensitivities, just so that you know. I know I just ruined your day, right? It's Sunday and you go get your bagel and your lox and so forth. But, you know, it is what it is and you need to really understand those pieces. So when you're eating things that are not good or supportive, you're not eating, you know, organic non-GMO foods, there's going to be an irritation to the body. And if that irritation is persistent and persists over time, your body is going to suffer the consequences of symptoms. It could be a shoulder injury, for example. Let's say that you bump into something and you hurt yourself pretty good, but it's one that should modify itself and it should heal up and so forth. But now all of a sudden there's this out of control inflammatory reaction that makes it worse. It just always there. It never goes away. There's a little sac in there between the muscles and the tendons called bursa. And now you have a chronic bursitis and your doc gives you things to knock it down instead of treating it properly. So when you come into our office and we want to fix that shoulder, there may be nerves that have been injured. The neck may have got bumped. There may be acupuncture areas that need to be supported. But if we don't calm down that inflammatory reaction, it's never going to heal, no matter what you do with it. So you have to look at not only the neurological pathways relative to injury, you have to look at the biochemical, bioelectrical. So a patient that came in the other day, and they're basically a computer jockey. They sit and they're on a computer all day long. They have the cell phone. They're actually in front of two computers and constant bombardment. They get into their car, and their car is a Bluetooth. All of our cars, for the most part, unless you've got one that's about 20 years old, all have Bluetooth technology. And so that's bombarding you. Now you go to your house and you have all the electrical systems and so forth. And this poor person was suffering from the slings and arrows of all of this exposure on a day-to-day basis. And their neck was, you know, we'll call it subluxated, out of position. So the nerves were being pinched and they would get treated and they'd feel better, but it wasn't going away until we realized the intensity of exposure that he was having to his electrical environment, if you will. So this time when he got treated, we put him on, we gave him a scrambler, if you will. It's called a Claris Q-Link, and showed him how to modify some of the things that he was surrounded by. But we tried to get him to understand that he had to have a break, he had to have a reset. There's a lot of different ways that you could do that. But until you identify the cause, the triggering mechanisms of some of these things, you can't fix them. And they just continue to persist, and they go on forever. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. I'd love to talk to you on anything you want to talk about. You know, the heart is affected by this ongoing stress pattern, this inflammatory reaction. And when you understand that inflammation is the trigger, is the key to so many disease processes, now all of this begins to make sense. This adrenal system puts out anti-inflammatory substances that bring down the inflammatory reaction. Here's an example. You go to your doctor and he said your cholesterol is too high, but they put you on a statin to lower your cholesterol. And by the way, in my opinion, the majority of time that's the wrong approach because that's not answering the question. And you haven't subdivided the cholesterol into the good guys and the bad guys really underneath the LDLs and the HDLs. You know, are they really damaging or are they not so damaged? But here's what happens. Let's say we drop that cholesterol really low, but we haven't done anything to control this adrenal system, this fight-flight reaction. So we're not controlling the damage of inflammation that goes to the arteries of the heart. Many of you are sitting there saying, what does that have to do with anything? Inflammation, when I hear the word inflammation, I think of acid, and I want you to do the same thing. It begins to damage the arterial bed. and your body tries to protect you. How does it do it? It takes, you can't get rid of your cholesterol completely because you're going to die. You need to have it. So it's going to take whatever fat it can get, and it's going to buffer it. It's going to put it against those arterial walls. Now you start getting plaquing. That's where the person, in spite of everything the medical community does and anything that they're doing naturally, if they haven't gotten rid of that stress pattern, they're still going to have what we call an arterial accident, where the blood flow no longer can do what it's supposed to do and nourish the heart or nourish the brain, and you end up with a heart attack or a stroke. Those are the things that we have to understand. We have to understand that chronic pain that goes unadapted. We have to understand that stress, emotional stress patterns that are not modified. We have to understand that dietary patterns that are terrible, that suck, if you want to use that word, are going to cause irritation, stress, high levels of cortisol, out of control modulations that are going to cause disease processes, dysfunction within the body, and then end up with the symptoms that we're trying to modify. Then we put drugs on them and then another drug for the drug and so forth and so on. So it's critical that we understand that we have control. You know, I wrote my book, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. And all of you should pick it up. If you don't have a copy, call our office. You know, we still have a bunch of them. I still think you get it on, you know, online. And we're going to probably, hopefully, this at the end of this year, we're going to come up with an expanded edition. But this one's easy to read. And it's going to show you the interrelationships of all these things, the critical importance of balancing the structural, chemical, emotional platform, and how you really need to deal with it. If you're constantly in a state of anxiety, and said, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what am I going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to take the time to try to find something? Are you going to take a pill, you know, to try to deal with it, or a drug to try to modulate your problem? Let's go to the phones. Dave, how can I help you?
Yeah, I was just wondering about your thoughts on daily cold water therapy.
Oh, it's great. when I was a bit younger, I used to jump into a very cold ice bath or shower after I took a hot one. So I'd start out with a hot one, and then I'd switch it to as cold as I could get it. And I would say that my godson, he's a whole lot younger. He's, you know, he's of the age where he wants to maximize and optimize his health. He's got a plastic tub that he has out in the garage. And so in the morning he goes out and he puts water and ice and so forth. And he gets in there and he stays in there for a while. And I said, yeah, God bless you. But it does great things. It stimulates immune reaction. It strengthens the body's ability to handle inflammatory reactions. Overall, it's a great thing. You know, in some areas, you're going to hear people talking about the polar bear club. And in the middle of the winter, they go put a hole in the ice on the lake where I came from, Jamestown, New York. They used to do that when the lake froze over, and people go in and they jump in and go swimming. I'm not that brave, but I did a modification of that. But the truth of it is it does a great job of increasing immune system. It does a great job of decreasing inflammatory reactions. That's one of the reasons that athletes, after they've been hurt, will get into a tub of ice because of its effect that it has in its modulation effect. Thanks for asking that question, Dave. It's one that a lot of people haven't thought about and they say, oh my God, that's going to kill me. It's going to give me a heart attack. Actually, no. If you get used to it over a period of time, it actually will decrease your inflammatory reactions, decrease your blood pressure. The effects are really interesting. Look it up and I think you'll be interested in how that happens. We're coming up to that place in the program where I got to take a break. And this is an interesting subject. I could sit here and talk to you about it all day long. Don't go away, though, but we'll be right back with some more information that you can apply directly. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're talking about an interesting program today, one that has to do with your stress patterns and how you react to your environment. You know, the old cliche, stress kills. Well, this is a lot of the reasons why it does. We end up with this inability of our body to defend itself. And you know, it tries and it tries and tries, and pretty soon it can't do it anymore. And we collapse, you know, for no reason whatsoever. Cardiovascular system can go into fibrillation because of this fight flight system that we're dealing with. It can go into stress pattern where it's not firing, or it's trying too hard. Insulin resistance take place, thyroid resistance takes place, intestinal problems occur simply because of adrenal stress. And unfortunately, unless you have a good functional medicine physician who really understands this, you're getting symptoms that are being treated and not the actual underlying cause or triggering mechanism. That's why it's so important really to find out what the problem really is, where it's coming from, and deal with that, not the symptom process. Somebody comes in with low back pain and sciatica, and I'm very concerned that they're hurting badly. But if I don't find the why behind it, you know, and if I just placate it, I get rid of it for a short period of time, it's going to come back. And the next time that it comes back, it's going to be far worse than it was before. That adrenal system that we just talked about produces anti-inflammatory reaction. So now the joint spaces, the nerves are irritated, they're swollen. And maybe for the time being, because we've taken some of the stress off the system, it modulates. But until we deal with that trigger, until we deal with that structural, chemical, emotional trigger, and then the ramifications downstream, if you will, that sciatica, that low back pain never goes away. It's the same thing with anybody who has cardiovascular problems. If you have somebody who is stressed out because they've been eating the wrong things for so many years, or, you know, emotionally they're reactive, and God knows that all of us have been somewhat reactive over the last couple of years, in that we've been trained to react. We've been trained to be lemmings and do this and do that and do the other thing. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but we've got to break that pattern, because we're going to get sick if we don't. Just remember, I talked about IgA antibodies, which are your first line of defense, that produced by the mucous membranes of the body. That's your way of defending yourself against viruses and bacteria and toxic metals and things of that nature. It's critical that you have the tools to understand how to fix them. And sometimes just simply by making sure you go to bed at night, you turn off all the lights, your room is slightly cool, and you eat enough protein at dinner before you go to bed. Some of us eat at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, or grab something, or we eat starches and sugars before we go to bed, and then we wonder why we wake up. We've got to have the protein pattern to be able to sleep well and stay asleep through the night, because otherwise you're going to go into a hypoglycemic pattern, which will trigger your cortisol, and you're going to wake up. It's just the way it is. That's how the body works. So understand that you do have control. You know, if you get out and do that walk I told you about, you know, our last caller, Dave, called in and said, well, how about ice baths? Well, ice baths do a really good job in making sure that your body's inflammatory reaction stays low. You trigger immune responses within the body that are strong. But that has to be coupled with other things. And that's, I didn't have the opportunity, we were so close to the break, to tell them. You've got to couple it with good dietary patterns. You've got to couple it with good sleep habits and learning how to modulate stress. There's no one size fits all. We have to, you know, we have to deal with those things. You've heard me say for years that you get up in the morning and you should start your day very simply. Stretch. Get a little exercise if you want to really exercise in the morning. Yeah, 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. Some people like to go out and go for a short walk, short run, get on the floor, do some exercise, or just stretch. Next piece is that you want to sit there and you want to pray or meditate. Get your day organized. Focus on, you know, what it is that you're meant to do in this world. And then third piece is sit and learn something that you didn't do before. Don't get on your cell phone. You know, don't get on your computer screen. Give yourself that benefit of really changing your life. And if you do that, how you think and how you adapt to all those crazy things, those stressors, if you will, around our life, will be modulated, will be much, much better. You know, I'm here every Sunday trying to bring you the most important information that you can use. And I want to stimulate you to do your homework. I want to provoke you, you know, to get out there and really say, is he right or is he talking through the top of his head? I want you to do the homework. Look at function, not disease. Look at the ability for the body to resolve things. As long as you're breathing, you're going to be able to fix virtually anything that goes on. That's how the body works. As long as you're breathing, cells duplicate. As long as you're breathing and your heart's working, you have the opportunity to fix things. And in today's world, as nutritional science and exercise science plays a greater import in our lives, you're going to find that you have the ability to shift and change virtually anything. So if that's the case, start today. Do something different. Make it a habit to get up and go for a walk in the morning. You need to make sure that you have the tools to do what you need to do. Remember, I'm going to be here every Sunday bringing you as much data and information as I possibly can. And I do it for one reason, and I continue to do it for the same reason always, is I love you very much. See you next week. Bye.